And may the words that I speak and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Well, I guess this is a dramatic and vivid parable. And it seems to be at the same time both encouraging, but not a little uncomfortable. I don't know if that depends on whom you are identifying with in the story. Jesus told the parable to his disciples, and I think he wanted to help them understand more about the kingdom of heaven and about what it means and how you set about serving God's kingdom. I remember from when I was younger, it used to be said that the pathway to learning at school was the three R's. That was reading, writing, and arithmetic. Obviously, spelling wasn't part of the package. I think in this parable, we can see a pathway to serving the kingdom of God. And we can perhaps look at it in terms of the seven R's. So there's a bad case of inflation going on here. But also, seven has been seen as a perfect number of completeness, because there are 7 days that had to take place in the story of creation. And on the cross, there are seven words from Jesus as he completes his saving death to take away our sins. In our parable, the master is God, or perhaps we prefer to see the master as our Lord Jesus. And the slaves, well, they seem to be Jesus' followers, the disciples, and of course going down the ages and including us. So let's touch base with those seven R's. The first I would suggest would be riches. The slaves are entrusted with talents by their master, and that actually amounts to vast riches. I read somewhere that a talent is equal to 6,000 denarii, which is a day's wage, and therefore a talent represents about 5 years' earning. And they had to steward this for their master. Well, we too are given great riches. We have the riches of Christ, which would include love and forgiveness and new life and peace. And we have the riches of gifts of the Holy Spirit, talents, abilities. Our gifts might be material riches, as in the parable. They might be practical skills, or things such as pastoral care and befriending and listening and peacemaking. The second R, I suggest, is recognise. We need to recognise the riches that we've been given. Imagine if we received a gift, perhaps at Christmas, which I'm sure we all will, and yet we didn't unwrap it to see what it was. That would be a very curious response. Well, in perhaps a similar way, we need to unwrap or maybe discover what gifts God has given us. How do we do that? Well, it may be that it's going to be something to do with what we do well, and we have a sort of an excitement and passion for it. Or maybe it's something which other people notice about us. Or maybe it's a sense of a nudge and a call from God to be or do something. As our third R, I'm going to suggest responsibility. We need to take responsibility for the riches and the gifts that we have recognised and that are entrusted to us, so that we can steward them like the two slaves. We need to be prepared to spend them in following Jesus and serving the kingdom of heaven, and not to simply hide them away in the ground like the third slave. The next R, response. Taking responsibility for the riches that we've recognised, that commits us to action and making a response. Developing our gifts, whether it's how we use our money, our time, our skills, our abilities, our sort of personal qualities, but developing them to do the good deed, to be the caring and generous person, to speak kindness and forgiveness and encouragement, to speak truth to power and injustice, and perhaps especially to speak the love of Jesus to those with whom we share our lives. And I think we would all say that at the moment, with all the current problems and the terrible things happening with the pandemic, that particularly we need to be looking out for ways in which we can offer support and help and care. Our fifth R is simply risk. Two of the slaves accepted the challenge that was given to them and used their gifts. But the third one was overwhelmed by fear. And it can feel quite risky and daunting to use our gifts, especially if God is calling us to do, to take on a new challenge of ministry. It's easy and tempting to feel afraid and inadequate. But in the Gospels, we find that Jesus constantly said to the timid, "Do not be afraid." We have Jesus' promise, "I'm with you always." We have the Holy Spirit to guide us and equip us for the task. So it is safe to risk saying yes to what God asks of us. Moving on to the next R, well, that I suggest would be for ready and readiness. In the parable, the master returned and asked the slaves to give an account of their work, how they had used the talents that he'd given them. Two had used their talents well and were ready for this day of reckoning. The third, who'd buried his talent, was unready and faced a bleak reckoning of loss, outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. When Jesus returns, and that's going to be a key theme of Advent, the season that's going to begin soon, when Jesus returns, we will also be asked to show how we have used our riches, our gifts. Has it been for good work? Or have they been wasted? Have we missed opportunities? It's good at times to stop and reflect. How ready do we feel for Jesus' return? In the first letter to the Corinthians, Paul paints quite a vivid picture of this kind of day of reckoning. He says, "We are like builders whose work will be tested by fire. If we've built with gold and silver, our work will survive. But if we've built with straw and hay, it will burn up." Reassuringly, he adds, "The builder will be saved, but it is as by fire," which sounds an unpleasant process. Our final R is reward. In the parable, the two slaves who had used their talents and were ready for the master's return were given great rewards. "Well done, good and trustworthy slaves. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." As we receive the riches of Christ, his love and forgiveness, new life and peace, and the rich gifts poured out by the Holy Spirit, may God help us to recognise those gifts, to take responsibility in stewarding them, to respond by giving loving service, even if it seems risky, so that we are ready for Jesus' return. And then may we know the reward of hearing those words, "Well done, good and trustworthy servants," and of entering into the joy of Jesus, who reigns in heavenly glory. And today, as our discipleship continues, we seek to follow Jesus and to serve God's kingdom. May we, in the words from our first reading, encourage one another and build up each other in faith and hope and in love. Amen.